And if you would, take your Bible. We'll go to James chapter 5. James 5. And we are coming down, coming home. And thank you for staying with me in the book of James. And James has really let me have it. Boy, I'll be glad to get out of James, but appreciate you being faithful here. James, we looked, and several weeks ago, we looked and began chapter number 5, talking about money. And James talks to them about this and talking, you know, he says their riches are corrupted and other things, materialistic, warning about materialism and a warning to trust God and keep Him prioritized in our lives. Now, if you would notice verse 7, we got about that far. He says in verse 7, chapter 5, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another. Brethren, lest ye be condemned, behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay, yea, and your nay, nay, that's hard to say, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." We'll stop there for a minute. Now we come to the aspect of patience, and I have tonight the power of patience. Patience is something that we all could use more of, but it's something mentioned many, many, many times in Scripture. And I think about this. He talks now tonight about enduring different things and giving us examples. Now, first of all, he gives us three instances or three times we're reminded of the coming of the Lord. And that ought to be our patience with that. And then he gives three encouraging examples of patience: the farmer, the prophets, and the wonderful man Job. We saw Job a few weeks ago, and he's just an amazing character. But thinking about the patience. Now, anytime we wait as Christians in the will of God, it's not a time of waste or wasting. So many people think I'm patient and waiting and waiting. It's never a time of wasting. And it does not mean to sit idly by, doing nothing. It carries the idea of endurance, bearing the burdens and fighting the battles until the Lord comes. And the goal for us as believers, again in the Bible, in the New Testament in particular, is never to go backwards. He never says go backwards. If you're not moving forward, you ought to what? Stand. That's what the Bible says. He says it in Ephesians. If you're not moving forward, then stand. Don't go backwards. Stand still. And what do we do when we're standing? We're not idle. We're being patient, waiting. And again, I say this often, but easy to say, hard to do, isn't it? But we never go backwards. Stand and wait. And then maybe opportunity to progress and move forward. And if it's not there, the Lord shuts the door. Okay. Then you take a step and you wait and you stand. Again, noticing this. But it's endurance, bearing burdens along the way. In one instance, it's used in definition of this word patience is long-tempered, not to lose heart, to persevere, to bravely endure, and all those things we think about. Now, let's look here tonight. First of all, at the promise of His return, verse 7. He says, you know the promise of the coming of the Lord. He says, be patient. It's promised throughout the Old Testament. Now, we understand and believe at this church, the Lord is coming very soon. We hope and pray He's coming very soon. As you think about this world, the wickedness of this world, and all that's going on, the decisions that are being made in those higher powers, we're praying God would return. Now, alongside with that, always we pray for the salvation of our loved ones, don't we? The loved ones around us, we're seeking the Lord daily in prayer. Lord, please work in their lives, work in their hearts, and may I be a vessel and tool that you can use. Now, it's promised, you know, Zechariah 14, Malachi 4, just name a couple of references to the coming of the Lord. It's also promised, we know, throughout the New Testament. Jesus said he would return. We know this. Going through, I have many verses. I won't read those verses, but you understand and know throughout the New Testament, the angels said he would return. We know that. Jesus said of himself he would return. Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, he says, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. So we clearly believe that we will see. There's a, again, a reference to the rolling back of the clouds of the sky, literally, like a scroll. And again, every eye shall see him at one point during that end time. Now, Paul, Peter, Jude, John, all these great men, these apostles, said he would return. We know that. We're looking for that blessed hope, we call it, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. So just talking about, he gives us that, the promise of the return that gives us strength for patience. Why do I keep enduring and keep going? Why do I stand? I want to go backwards, but it's hard. And I want to stand. I want to keep going. I want to press forward. Well, remember the coming of the Lord. Remember his return. And again, that he would be, that we would be found of him, it's put, what? With peace, where we're supposed to be. That's what it means. When we're supposed to be, where we're supposed to be, why we're supposed to be. You could use all of that. What are you doing? Where are you at? Again, talking about spiritual matters. But also, not only the promise of his return, notice the example of patience. Now, let's look at these three examples given to us, and I like these. First of all is the farmer. He says in verse 7, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it. Anyone ever tried to plant anything, you understand that reference. Long patience. Long. It takes time. And I saw a quote the other day. I thought it was so funny. He said, we spent $350 on seeds and pots and plants, and the potters, they got these big like garden things and all the material, about $350. And he said, so that we could bring in about 75 cents worth of fruit or vegetables. And it's like, yeah, that's a good point. But you think about, and God bless you if you do grow your own stuff. I like that. But he shows us the example of patience, the farmer. Notice, he prepares the soil, he plants the seed, and then he waits for the rain. Now, you understand and know this during this time. I don't need to in detail this, but they had to wait for the rain during this time. They didn't have a lot of the irrigation that we have today. But he waits. Notice, he must be patient. Then comes the harvest. In due season, we shall reap if we what? Faint not. Remember that in Galatians? If we faint not, that's the prerequisite to it. We have to wait, be patient, not fainting. The word faint, you know, means to quit, to give up, to put in the throw in the towel and step aside. In due season, notice that. That means God's timing, God's timing. We wait, we wait. He patiently waits. He patiently prepares. He patiently waits because he knows the fruit is precious. It's very precious. We are waiting today. Now notice, he has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. You know that. The rain comes early in the season and the rain comes late in the season. There's always a perfect timing to that. And again, we understand some of that. I won't go into that. But the patience of the farmer. God's producing a harvest in our lives. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to grow. Galatians 5:22, you know. He does this through trials and tribulations. We must yield to the Lord and let the fruit grow. Okay? Letting it grow. Notice next the prophets. The prophets. He mentions here, verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets, who've spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Now these prophets, they spoke in the name of the Lord and suffered for it. Anytime the prophet came to town, they were in trouble, basically, because he was going to... What? He's going to prophesy. He's going to tell what God said. And a good or a true prophet, you remember the example that was given of if you're a true prophet, whatever you say and it comes to pass, he's a prophet. What if he says something and it never comes to pass, he's not a true prophet. He's a fake. He's a heretic. Now, these prophets would come to town and everyone knew, oh, here comes the prophet. As you recall, I just read through 1 Samuel, and at one point, Samuel came into town, to one of the towns, and it says the people feared. They said, Samuel's here. And they feared. What's something? Somebody's not right with God. Something's not right. Now, the prophets, you know, that suffered for it. I said before, but when Paul came to town, he did not look for the Hilton or the Marriott. He looked for the, wanted to know what the prison cell was like. How's the prison system over here? Why do you want to know that? He's coming. He'll be there next week or tomorrow. The prophets, they suffered for this. Elijah, he suffered. He suffered. He suffered the drought with the others. Jeremiah was arrested. He was thrown into prison as a traitor. And all that Jeremiah went through. Jeremiah suffered greatly. Some of you reading maybe through Isaiah and Jeremiah right now. Daniel and Ezekiel, oh, they suffered tremendous, horrific things being in captivity. The Lord Jesus, we know, suffered tremendous persecution. Now, not only at his trial and not only at his crucifixion, but you know, throughout his life, he suffered persecution. Everywhere he went, people persecuted him. There were people that loved him and people that hated him. Today, we're the same. If you share your faith with people, you know that. You don't know whether to pucker or to duck. You want to love me because I'm a Christian, or you're about to, you know, you want to throw me out. And if you're worth your salt as a Christian, you share your faith and you're faithful to him, you're going to find that out very soon, right? Paul suffered tremendous persecution, 2 Corinthians 11, we've read before. But he talks about that. Oh, how many times he was whipped and beaten and thrown in prison. They patiently endured the affliction. Their suffering proved the truth of their message. Isn't that true? Their suffering proved the truth of their message. And when you put your feet to the fire and people say, you, never mind, I don't really believe that. You know, you put your feet to the fire and you say, I'm still going to believe. I still proclaim the name of Christ, etc., etc. You know that. It proves the truth of the message. Not only the prophets, not only the husbandmen or the farmer. Notice Job, though. He says, verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard the patience of Job. You've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, Job, it is different and, excuse me, difficult to find a greater example of suffering than Job. What went on behind the scenes was not revealed to him. Now, think about that. Again, God never clearly laid out everything for Job, did he, at the end? Now, Job, this is why I took your kids and why I took all your money and why I gave you these diseases. And now, Job understood. He said, this is Lord, take, Lord giveth, Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But again, the Lord didn't lay out in detail everything for Job and said, this is why, what, and where. But Job said what? I will trust him. I will come forth as gold. Circumstances were always against him. He lost his wealth, children, his own health, his own marriage. His wife and his friends were against him. The most close and intimate people to Job turned on him. They turned on him. Poor guy. Turned on him. You'd think they'd at least pat him on the back, maybe feel sorry for him. God appeared to be even against him. Remember his three friends came? God's against you, Job. Does it ever boggle you or you scratch your head why Job, first of all, is long, but the vast three quarters of it is his friends in this dialogue with him. And I'm going, why don't we just cut to the chase here? And then at the end, God says, you guys are wrong. You know. But you think about it, I think that's a good book for patience for us, isn't it? Job, wonderful story. God appeared to be against him, yet he endured. He questioned God's will, but he did not forsake his faith in the Lord. And it's okay to question God's will. We know that. God, why are you doing this or allowing this? And he may not answer us. Sometimes he does answer us. Okay, Tim, this is why. Or sometimes he won't answer. And then we say what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help me to endure. He did not forsake his faith. He says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He persisted even though he did not understand all that God was doing. That is called endurance. Notice, he also, the story teaches us that we sometimes suffer inside of the will of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to punish me, to annoy me, to irritate me, to hurt me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so again, Paul understood and recognized that. His story teaches us that God permits Satan to try our faith. That's something very scary to think about, isn't it? God permits Satan to work in our lives. And again, Anything that comes into your life must come across the desk of our God, of our Savior, of our Lord. And so obviously we know Satan entices us to sin with temptation and other things. So God allows that to try us to see where we are, knowing that. He says to Simon, as you recall, Luke 22, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, if I was standing there and Jesus said, but I've prayed for you, I said, Lord, do more than that. Stop him from doing that. Don't let him sift me like wheat. The Lord says, I've prayed for you. He's praying for us. He's for us. You know, that teaches us God permits Satan to try our faith. Satan wants to get us to be impatient like Moses. He wants to get us impatient like Abraham, like Peter. Peter got impatient. Abraham got impatient, went down to Egypt. You know that Moses got impatient, struck the rock, irritated with the people. Satan knows that impatient Christians are powerful tools in his hands because we step outside of the will of God. Notice this, though, number three, obey the instructions for patience. He says there, be patient, and be ye also patient. It is commanded to us. Verse number 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And he gives us this patience. Establish your hearts, he says in verse 8. Establish your hearts. Strengthen, fix, confirm in one's mind. One of the responsibilities of the pastor, you know, is to establish your heart. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Established. 1 Thessalonians 3:1, he says, wherefore, when ye could no longer forbear, we sent Timotheus, our brother, a minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We need more Christians to be established, don't we? They're established, they're steady, they're strengthened. Their roots run deep. They know where they are. He also says to grudge not. Be patient, establish your hearts, grudge not. Grudge not. Do not grudge. Groan means to complain, means to fight against one another. And in the time of trial and testing and the pressure mounts, it's easy to become grudging, doesn't it? To become impatient, to become complaining, groaning, and fighting. All problems will be solved by the judge who is coming. Amen. And then he says, swear not. Notice verse 12. Above all things, my brethren, swear not. Swear not. Have you heard people say, oh, heaven's sake. Heaven forbid. You think about that. Neither by heaven, notice that, neither by earth, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. And I think people innocently take oaths from time to time. The Boy Scouts take an oath, whatever. Is this it or that it? I don't know what level that is, but they take oaths. The military has to take an oath, don't they? Law enforcement has to take an oath. I don't know if it's your workplace, if any of you had to take an oath before, but we got to be very careful because the Bible is against oath-taking. We have to be careful. Our allegiance is primarily, and you know this, to the Lord and Savior and to the Word of God. So we must be careful about that. But he says, do not swear. Swear not. Have such honest speech that you do not have to swear. Now, we use the term today, swearing, by taking maybe the Lord's name in vain or using foul language. We say we swear by that. But we must be careful. Swearing, promising something that we can't fulfill or whatever the case would be. Speak so that your yes means yes and your no means no. I like that better than nay and yay and nay. Yay, nay, nay, and yay. Speak to yourselves and know that. Your yes is yes. We are encouraged to be patient in times of suffering, like a farmer. We're waiting for the harvest of spiritual fruit that will glorify God. Like the prophets, we look for opportunities to witness for the Lord. And like Job, we wait for the Lord to fulfill his living purpose, knowing that he will never cause his children to suffer needlessly. God never allows suffering needlessly. Never dangles the carrot in front of us, does he? So we know he's at work. Like Job, we have a clearer vision of the Lord and come to know him better for having been in the furnace of affliction. He says, be patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, draws nigh. And aren't you thankful for that? We are waiting for the coming of the Lord, and that ought to encourage us to be patient and continue on. Keep going. If you are not moving forward at this point in your spiritual life, not due to sin or not due to any disobedience, but you know God is just having you wait, Do not go backwards, stand. And standing takes a lot of effort. Ephesians, read Ephesians 6 again. Put on the armor of God and what? Stand. And there will be darts and arrows shot at you from our adversary, from the world, and from our own stinking, ugly flesh, won't it? And we stand. Don't go backwards. Don't give in. But notice these examples given to us. The farmer, as he waits, the prophets, and Job, the wonderful man that endured unto the end. And at the end, he said, I shall come forth as gold. And he did, didn't he? He shined bright. Amen. Okay. I hope you have patience. I'm still working on it. Lord willing, I'll keep going. Amen. Lord, thank you for time tonight. Look at your word again in James 5. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God again, as we've said, and for these prayer requests mentioned tonight. I pray that you'd help me personally, first and foremost. And Lord, thinking about these examples given, amazing, amazing examples. And we thank you for your grace and your goodness to us and your help. We pray you guide us the rest of our week. Keep us safe, if it be your will. Bring us back here Sunday, if it be your will. And Lord, help us to be the right testimony, witness. And Lord, give us strength to abide in your word this week and in our prayer closet and looking to you. We cannot wait for the day, Lord, when you return. And we thank you for that blessed hope in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks.